so are you. Thank you for joining us again at the Stream Strategy Fantasy Hockey Podcast, brought to you by the Good Hockey Podcast, which is us. The Stream Strategy is designed to help you maximize value in the upcoming NHL schedule so that you can win your fantasy hockey matchups. Chuck and I are not... The process is not working for us this week, Chuck, but we have to continue to trust this process. I'm Kyle. That's Chuck. How's it going, man?
It's going all right, but I'm losing in fantasy hockey pretty hard this week.
Yeah.
I'm down 6-7 in the Good Hockey Fantasy League with 17 more games played this week. And in the Keeper League that we participate in, I'm actually losing 0-9 right now. Now, I feel pretty confident about both my teams, and I feel like it's just been some underperforming weeks for both of them, but still doesn't feel good.
So for those of you watching on YouTube, we are looking at the matchups right now. The Bitch Pigeons beating 12-inch Landeskog 9-0. These category splits aren't exactly close either, Charles, but you just got slapped with the games played here. But I think that me and you did the same thing over this two-week schedule. With both of us being on the higher end of the leaderboards, we were more interested in starting to prep for our playoff runs rather try and stream just to get a few extra category wins. So I'm also losing 2-7 against the fourth place. You're in third and you're losing to the 10th place. My category splits are a little closer, and I have a few games in hand, so maybe I'll be able to win in this goal category here. I'm just at 17, where Svech's mom has got it on. Manager Jordan, who's in fourth, has only got 19 goals. And he only has 28 assists, while I have 25. So I think there's some opportunities here, especially that I have 7 more games than him remaining. But overall, if it's a bad week with the loss, it's not the worst thing ever.
Yep. I actually just checked the Good Hockey Fantasy League quickly. I'm losing 5-8 to the Markland Trashers. Tyler is the manager over there. He's built himself a bit of a juggernaut of a team, though. I'm very scared to match up against him in the playoffs. I feel like that might be one of the harder matchups that I would have to deal with.
Yeah, the Markland Thrashers and Cole's cool team.
Crazy team.
Yeah.
I think crazy.
Dude, I love the default fantasy team names.
Yeah.
Cole's crazy team. Cal's pure team, you know?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. I'm also showing my category split here, and it's in the Good Fantasy Hockey League against the Conn Smythe. And it's, 6-7. Not really that close, but again, not the worst thing ever if you just lose 1 week, especially if you're still picking up some points with a few category wins or some ties. Okay, let's just jump right into the Stream Strategy. As I mentioned, it's designed to help you maximize value in the upcoming NHL schedule. Charlie has prepared a secret document full of extremely useful data for week 17's Stream Strategy. So we are looking for the upcoming week, for the entirety of the week, for the whole week's schedule. Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday are your on nights. Monday, Wednesday, Friday are your off nights. So the on nights: Tuesday, 9 games. Thursday, 10 games. Saturday, 7 games. Sunday, 8 games. And your off nights: Monday, 4 games. Wednesday, 4 games. Friday, 4 games.
Yep.
Charlie, are there any teams that have a Monday, Wednesday, Friday split this week?
There is only one team with the Monday, Wednesday, Friday split this week, and that's going to be the Minnesota Wild, who have 4 games, including those 3 off nights that we were just talking about. And they probably have the best schedule this week, I think, with those 3 off nights.
Yeah. We would call that a streamigami when your schedule hits all of the off nights for the week. But they have a streamigami plus one because they also have that on night for the Sunday game. Although Sunday with only 8 games is kind of a sort of a light on night. Or just barely get it. It's not too busy. So yeah, really take a look at the Minnesota Wild this week for sure. Some other notable schedules: Boston Bruins have 4 games. Sorry, the Buffalo Sabres have 4 games, only one off night. The Carolina Hurricanes have 3 games with 2 off nights, Wednesday and Friday. The Blackhawks have 4 games, 2 off nights, Sunday and Monday. Oilers have 5 games, 1 off night, and a back-to-back on Monday, Tuesday, and Saturday, Sunday. Florida Panthers, 3 games, 2 on nights. Wild, as we mentioned, 4 games, 3 off nights. Senators, 4 games, no off nights. They've had some really good volume over the past 2 weeks, but with no off nights this week, so I'm starting to see less and less value in holding my streamers from the Ottawa Senators. Yeah. The St. Louis Blues have 3 games. VGK, 3 games. And WPG, the Winnipeg Jets, 4 games. VGK is Vegas Golden Knights. They've got 3 games, 2 off nights, Wednesday, Friday. Bad schedules: Arizona, Detroit, Montreal, Nashville, New Jersey, Philadelphia, Tampa Bay, Vancouver, and Washington. Only getting 1 or 2 games with no more than 1 off night at the max.
Yeah. Charles, you're not aiming to stream from those teams.
Not at all. Do you want to lead us through the pickups?
Yeah, I'm going to jump into the Buffalo Sabres here. Buffalo Sabres have a lot of high-value options for streaming, with Jeff Skinner, Tage Thompson, and Alex Tuch being fairly low rostered and on that first forward line and first power play unit. Jeff Skinner has a season ranking of 191, rostered in 16% of leagues. He gets no PK time alongside his already high deployment. Tage Thompson, with a season ranking of 126, is rostered in 35% of leagues. Also first forward line, first power play, no PK. And then Alex Tuch, season ranking of 522, rostered in 37% of leagues, first forward line, first power play unit, no PK time. And Alex Tuch is a point per game player right now, so I would very much recommend taking a look at Alex Tuch if he's available in any of your leagues. Finally, Henry Jokiharu, season ranking of 642, rostered in 0% of leagues. He's on their first defensive line, second power play unit, and first PK time. Strictly a deployment play with Henry Jokiharu.
Yeah, I mean, with the PK time, you got to love that. He'll be getting a lot of minutes, and that means a lot of opportunity to produce. Who do we have next?
Carolina Hurricanes. We're going to be talking about Seth Jarvis again. He's still playing in their top 6, this time on their second forward line, second power play unit with no PK time. He's got a season ranking of 338, rostered in 3% of leagues. Martti Natchez is making his return to the stream strategy. He's back on the first forward line alongside Sebastian Aho. He's playing on the second power play unit with no PK time. Season ranking of 286, rostered in 50% of leagues. It's going to be tricky to go and find Martti Natchez, but if you do, I think it's worth it for this week. I also like Brady Shea. Season ranking 243, rostered in 20% of leagues. He's on their second defensive line, first PK unit with no power play time. Jacob Slavin, season ranking 193, rostered in 58% of leagues. He's got their first defensive line deployment, second power play unit, and second PK unit. And finally, I would take a look at Antti Raanta this week. He's the backup goalie, or the 1B goalie, some might say, for the Carolina Hurricanes. He's got a season ranking of 138, and he's rostered in 9% of leagues. He's been playing a bit better as the season has gone on, and obviously Carolina is a wagon, so I think any streamer from them is very much worth taking a look at.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking to pick them up only on Wednesday because they have no games to Monday, Tuesday, so
yeah.
Keep that in mind if you can pick someone up that's got a Monday, Tuesday back-to-back and then switch over to a Carolina player. That's the way. I would first look at Martti Natchez, especially if he's on the first line, but I think that Seth Jarvis is just a sort of diet Martti Natchez. You will get sort of similar production, but maybe a little bit less. Personally, my preference just comes down to deployment, so whoever is on this top line is who I want on my roster because they're getting same power play deployment. I don't really see any opportunity for either of them to move up with everyone being healthy in the lineup. Seems like Trocheck is really that trigger position. But if someone does get knocked down, I mean, Natchez is the first one to go up ahead of Jarvis, I think. So, yeah, I mean, this whole year it's been a toss-up for me between Natchez and Jarvis because I've been a long-time holder of Natchez with a consistent streamer of Jarvis, and I've just noticed that maybe it's because I had such high expectations for Natchez, but I feel better about Jarvis as a streamer in general, particularly because he's more accessible with a lower roster percentage, as you mentioned. But with this deployment, I mean, Martin Natchez certainly has a good opportunity to become fantasy relevant again and may even end up as a hold. So, yeah, I would go for him first.
Yeah, I agree with you on all of those points.
It's also worth mentioning that... Yeah, let's move ahead.
Moving over to the Chicago Blackhawks. Going to be a bit of a broken record from last episode. We talked about Dylan Strome, who's on that first forward line, first power play unit with no PK time. He's got a season ranking of 400, rostered in 13% of leagues. Dominik Kubalík is also on that first forward line, the second power play unit with no PK time. He's got a season ranking of 311, rostered in 28% of leagues. Kirby Dach, he's on the second forward line, second power play unit, and first PK unit. He's got a season ranking of 385, rostered in 11% of leagues. And finally, from the Chicago Blackhawks, Calvin DeHaan, who, if you're looking for blocks in particular, this is somebody that you really want to keep your eye out for. He's got first defensive line deployment, no power play time, but first PK time, which is nice, again, if you're looking for blocks. He's got a season ranking of 630 or 623, rostered in 6% of leagues.
Charlie, can we give a shout out to Brandon Hagel, who is playing on the second line right wing? He has previously been seen on the first line left wing.
Yeah.
With Dylan Strome or Dach in the middle and Patrick Kaner to bring it on the right wing. Hagel has also been stuck on this first power play unit for the past few weeks, as far as I know. Let's give some love to Brandon Hagel and toss him on this list as well.
Sure, we can throw him in there.
All right, who's next?
I had ignored him, or I had left him out intentionally, because I streamed him when he was on that first line and first power play, and he did absolutely nothing for me. So there might just be a little bit of personal anger or something in there. But moving on, we got the Edmonton Oilers. Jesse Puljujärvi is going to get his shot at top line deployment with Connor McDavid. He's going to get a chance to see if he can spark some production for this team. Season ranking of 144, rostered in 34% of leagues, first forward line, no power play time, and no PK time. Also, Kyler Yamamoto, season ranking 475, rostered in 6% of leagues. He's down on that second forward line, no power play time, no PK time. Warren Fogle, who's on the third line now, he does get second power play unit, second PK time. He's got a season ranking of 440, rostered in 1% of leagues. And finally, Evan Bouchard, season ranking of 217, rostered in 57% of leagues. Might be harder to find him. He's got first defensive line deployment, first power play unit, and first PK unit deployment. Just getting top opportunities all around for this team. So I like Bouchard, even with that season ranking sitting at 217.
Yeah, his value is certainly exceeded on this first power play. But I don't know. Seems like Tyson Barrie, the Edmonton Oilers are losing confidence in Tyson Barrie.
Yes.
Who's up next?
Moving over to the Florida Panthers. Owen Tippett has second line deployment, second power play units with no PK time. He's got a season ranking of 361, rostered in 1% of leagues. Anton Lundell, season ranking of 139, rostered in 29% of leagues. He's on that third forward line, second power play unit, second PK unit. Always good deployment from Anton Lundell. Radko Gudas with a season ranking of 98 because of how many hits this guy gets. He's rostered in 56% of leagues, second defensive line deployment, no power play time, and second PK deployment. Finally, Carter Verhaeghe. This is going to be a bit tricky because he has a roster percentage of 63%. But if he is available, I think this is a must add because he will be a hold. He's got a season ranking of 120 playing on the first forward line where he has been all season long. Second power play unit with no PK time.
Yeah, I would take a look at Owen Tippett because even players like Mason Marchment, who are on the third line of Florida, are challenging to pick up. This top nine is strong. They are all a threat, really reminding me of last year's Carolina Hurricanes. And with only 1% rostered, you should be able to pick up Owen Tippett, and he will be relevant in perhaps more than just deep leagues because of the cast that he's surrounded with, and he's pretty much the only guy who hasn't really popped off yet. It's not a super strong thesis, but there is deployment to back it up, and at the very least, it's worth a stream.
Yeah, I agree. All right, the Minnesota Wild is the next team with a good schedule. As we were saying at the start of this episode, they likely have the best schedule of this week. So we're going to kick it off with Matthew Boldy. Season ranking of 584, rostered in 23% of leagues. He plays on the second forward line, the first power play unit with no PK time. Matthew Boldy has been playing at just under a point per game in just over 10 games played this season. He's a great add. He gets that top power play deployment with Zuccarello and Kaprizov. I've been holding Matthew Boldy in the Good Hockey Fantasy League since I streamed him about 2 weeks ago, and I don't ever feel a need to drop him or to switch him out for someone else. Next up, Frederick Goudreau. Season ranking of 461, rostered in 1% of leagues. He's on their second forward line, no power play time, no PK time. And finally, Alex Goligoski with a season ranking of 218, rostered in 32% of leagues. He's got first defensive line deployment, no power play time, and no PK time.
Yeah. Like Boldy, I think that he is interesting, getting Jason Robertson vibes. Don't know that we should expect the same production exactly, but I think we could expect, considering this deployment, reasonably expect a 50 to 60 point pace from Matt Boldy over 82 games, but considering he's not going to play 82 games, I wouldn't be concerned about his overall season ranking. I would more look into his average, like his game averages, because I bet he is one of the top 100 publicly, top 100 fantasy players for public leagues right now. Yeah, it's a really good thesis. Ton of value there. Matt Boldy's the guy.
The Ottawa Senators have four games this week with not many off nights, so the value in these streamers is a bit lower. However, we can find players like Tim Stützle, who is on that first forward line, first power play unit with no PK time, who is a good option to stream. He's got a season ranking of 259, rostered in 45% of leagues. Also, Alex Formanton on that second forward line, first power play unit and second PK unit. He's got a season ranking of 319, rostered in 8% of leagues. Connor Brown, I'm also liking this week. Second forward line, second power play deployment with first PK deployment. He's got a season ranking of 490, rostered in 19% of leagues. And finally, from the Ottawa Senators, Matt Murray, who has been playing just outstanding over the last few weeks. He has a season ranking of 130, rostered in 32% of leagues, and he's the starting goalie, so he will play 2 to 3 games out of their 4-game schedule this week.
Yeah, Matt Murray is an interesting one, and I took a look at him before deciding that it wasn't really worth it because he is a coin flip, which means it's really fun to stream him in as a goaltender. It's something like over his last 10 starts, half of his games have been considered quality starts, but these are even high quality starts. So quality start is anything above a 915 save percentage, and he has been performing at like a 930 to 940 range. The other half of the games have been not only unquality starts, which are typically anything under 900, I believe, but they've been bad starts. They've been around like 860 to 850 kind of range. So you are either going to get shelled or have a fantastic start for Matt Murray, which means it's fun, right?
Yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that description of streaming Matt Murray.
Only 32% rostered.
Yeah.
130 season ranking, yeah.
He's improved his stock significantly over the last month.
Like, I don't know that we should expect a ton of volume from him, but with five games this week, you could reasonably expect three.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. The St. Louis Blues also have a good schedule. Braden Schenn is going to be trickier to pick up at his roster percentage of 67%. But if you can find him open in your league, he's got that first forward line deployment, first power play unit deployment, no PK time with a season ranking of 226. After Braden Schenn, I like Robert Thomas playing on the second forward line, second power play unit, and second PK unit. He's got a season ranking of 292, rostered in 21% of leagues. Colton Parayko has got a season ranking of 489, rostered in 27% of leagues. First defensive line deployment with no power play unit and first PK deployment. Finally, Ville Husso, who has really sparked a goalie controversy for the St. Louis Blues. He's their 1B goalie, but I guess at this point in the season, you could almost argue that they're a 50-50 tandem. Husso has a season ranking of 31, rostered in 66% of leagues.
Yeah, Charlie, I would also take a look at Nico Mikkola. Because of the good schedule from the St. Louis Blues, it is worth taking a glance at a peripheral specialist. Maybe not a specialist because he's not that good, but it's what he will produce for you. Mikkola is 0% rostered, so there will be opportunity to pick him up. And he's averaging about two hits, a block and a half, as well as a shot and a half per game. With him being on the first defensive pairing, as well as the first PK unit, some pretty good deployment to maybe see him go off and get more than that.
Yeah, well, if you're looking for blocks and hits, you know, him on that top PK unit is huge for that. And it could definitely inflate, you know, his two hits, 1.5 blocks per game, to maybe three hits and 2.5 blocks per game on that top line.
There are some games where you see zero hits, one block, two hits, zero blocks. But then there are some games where you see four hits, four blocks. So
yeah. One, you got to look for those games.
One hit, six blocks. So, yeah.
Yeah. The Vegas Golden Knights are tough to stream from because normally everybody in their top six and their top pairing defensemen are all rostered up. But this week, Evgeny Dadonov is getting a chance on the top line. He's got a season ranking of 219, rostered in 10% of leagues. As I was just saying, first forward line deployment. He's also got first power play unit deployment with no PK time. Riley Smith, season ranking of 109, rostered in 41% of leagues. Riley Smith plays on the second forward line, second power play unit, no PK time. And I also like Nicholas Hägg, season ranking of 348, rostered in 7% of leagues. He's got that first defensive line deployment with Petrangelo, which is what I really like. No power play unit and second PK unit. I would just be expecting hits and blocks from Nick Hägg if I'm streaming him at all this week.
I like the Dadonov thesis, especially with the first power play time. But if this is the week that we see Jack Eichel return to the Vegas Golden Knights lineup, especially with Mark Stone being put on IR, and I believe that makes the space, the cap issues a bit more
reasonable.
I think they can make it work. I don't know. There might be complications with Martinez still there as well. But I believe that Jack Eichel's return is imminent and soon. So I think that might be the end of Dadonov on the first power play, but only time will tell.
Yeah. We will have to see. The Winnipeg Jets also have a good schedule. They're going to be the last team that we're looking at for this episode. Paul Stastny, playing on their first forward line second power play unit with no PK time, has a season ranking of 399, rostered in 6% of leagues. I also like Cole Perfetti, who's on their second forward line second power play unit with no PK time. Cole Perfetti has a season ranking of 745, rostered in 2% of leagues. And I'm a big fan of Josh Morrissey, who has been struggling to produce offensively this year, but he's been doing great in peripheral categories. He's on their first defensive line, first power play unit, and second PK unit. Season ranking of 236, rostered in 38% of leagues. If you're not afraid to watch your plus minus get, like, take a huge hit, then Josh Morrissey is the perfect streamer for you. And finally, from the Winnipeg Jets, Eric Comrie, season ranking of 143, rostered in 3% of leagues. He is the backup goalie, so he should be getting one start in that back-to-back against Minnesota and Seattle.
And he'll probably be getting the Seattle start as well, right?
That would be ideal, yeah.
Charlie, what is your stream strategy this week?
Ooh, my stream strategy, I would be aiming for Matthew Boldy. However, I already have Matthew Boldy. So instead, I'm going to look at some Ottawa Senators players. I know that they don't exactly have the off nights, but I think that players like Formanton and Tim Stützle have too much value, and adding four games to your schedule for a week is never a bad thing, especially if they can play pretty much every night. I'm also liking the look of Warren Fogle right now on the Edmonton Oilers with some good power play deployment and five games this week. He's got the 1% roster ability at the moment, so lots of opportunity to go pick up Warren Fogle. Otherwise, I'm going to save some of my picks for the weekend and reassess on Thursday.
Yeah, I've got something similar. I'm going to try and get someone from the Edmonton Oilers to get me two games for that back-to-back. This is probably a week where I should be looking to maximize starts. And Yamamoto is obviously the number one that I would look at. Probably Fogle number two, because you might get some hits. Don't really like any of their defense. But I need someone from the Oilers to give me those two games. And then I'm going to look at Owen Tippett from the Florida Panthers for the Wednesday, Friday, Sunday. Or, you know, maybe Natchez or Jarvis from the Carolina Hurricanes.
Yeah, good call.
While that's going on, if there's some opportunity to pick up Eric Comrie for the Seattle game, I really like that start.
Yeah. Eric Comrie has been pretty great this season, too. Against a team like Seattle, Winnipeg should be able to beat them. Should be able to beat them. We know that the way this season has gone for the Winnipeg Jets, it's kind of been the opposite story. But they have been playing well recently.
Okay, I think that's all from us. This has been the Stream Strategy. Yep. It's designed to help you maximize value in the upcoming NHL schedule. Sponsored by BuckLegends.ca. Make sure to check them out, and you can use the code GOOD, G-O-O-D, all capitals, for free shipping, and they will cover the tax. What are you, a Gordie Howe guy?
That's a pretty good deal.
What are you, a Doug Gilmore guy? What are you, a dog guy?
What's the name of that olive green? That's literally just military green.
Yeah, olive branch.
I love the shirt colors. Olive branch.
We got Black Beauty, Blue Pansy, Cloud Pink, Honey Peach, Hot Pink, Ice Water, Lapis Blue, Lucent White, Olive Branch, Sugar Almond, Violent Crescent, and Winery. So,
yeah.
I'm a Honey Peach guy personally. I love the names. Gordie Howe, Pavel Bure, Matt Sundin, Mario Lemieux, Wayne Gretzky, Nick Lindstrom, Willie O'Ree. For all of our fans out in the Europe area, you Finns and you Germans, buy this. You should check out this Willie O'Ree one. You guys will really like that, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in.
We'll see you later.
Good luck in your fantasy.
We're
going to
record an episode of the Good Hockey Podcast right after this and talk about a bunch of stuff. So. Stay tuned for that.
All right. Adios.
Okay, bye.